Good morning to everyone. It's great to have you here in the Lord's house today. Happy Veterans Day to all of you. Keep our soldiers in our prayers today. This evening we have a special opportunity to grow in our faith in a very unique way. We have a young man that is coming to our campus who is of our faith and also a very talented actor. His name is Daniel Dexter. And tonight here in the chapel at 7 o'clock, he is coming to give a presentation. He has memorized the entire Gospel of John and using the NIV. So if you'd like to come tonight here in the chapel at 7 o'clock, bring your NIV to make sure that he's on word for word. And it takes about an hour is what I've been told. Those who have heard his presentation say it's excellent. And so we'd like to invite everybody to come tonight at 7 o'clock here at the chapel. Thank you. We begin then with our opening hymn.
God appointed for our meditation this morning is recorded in the letter to the Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. This is our text. Fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, our Savior. These two verses that we have just heard from the letter to the Hebrews, when they're heard alone without their context or their background, can be disturbing, and even more disturbing if you listen carefully. If anyone, what we hear in those words is something like this: if anyone who has become a Christian sins willfully, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. That is, that there's no forgiveness, no condemnation. Now, this is troubling. For not all of my daily sins are undeliberated, committed in ignorance, or without thought, without premeditation. And so, does this mean that I am shut out of God's kingdom if I sin willfully? And rather than say, if I sin willfully, we should say, when I sin willfully. Is that an unforgivable sin? One sin, and all eternity is lost. Zero tolerance. If that is so, then heaven is a mighty empty place, except for God Himself. But is that so? These words were written during a time when Christians were being persecuted, even unto death. And that sheds some light already on the meaning of these words. During those persecutions of the early Christians, it was a serious matter as to what to do with the lapsed, those who, in the face of persecution, denied their Christian faith. And as it often happened, after the persecution in a particular area, after it abated, or for some other reason, those who had denied their faith returned to it and wanted to be taken back into the communion of the church. Some held that they should be received back if they were truly repentant. But others held, according to this text, that once they had denied the faith, there could be no forgiveness. In the 3rd century, about 250 AD, there was a priest by the name of Novatian, and who with his followers appealed to this text when they refused to receive back into their fellowship anyone who had denied the faith during the persecution, but then repented and confessed Christ and the Christian faith. Now, what does this text mean when it says, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no sacrifice? Saint Chrysostom, answering the Novatians, said, he, that is the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, did not say there is no further remission, but he says that there is no further sacrifice. That is, there is no second cross. And he observes that this simply teaches that there is no salvation outside of the Holy Christian Church, that is, apart from faith in Jesus. There is remission of sins for all sinners, even those who, like Saint Peter, have denied their faith, I do not know the man, and then returned and repented of their denial. If you want peace and forgiveness, but not Christ, then there is no sacrifice that sets you right with God. But under faith in His sacrifice, faith in the work of Christ on the cross, there is forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation for you every day of your life. Even so, these words underscore the seriousness of sinning willfully. A few verses later, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our lesson also speaks of a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation. The words of this lesson are the sharpest and most severe law and condemnation. It's first of all a warning to those who live in the last days, the days when the coming of our Lord, the righteous judge, are imminent. And that includes us as well as those early Christians. There is no forgiveness of sins. There is no atonement, no propitiation for my sin outside of Christ's church, that is, outside of faith in Christ my Savior. And that refers to the church in its most pure and holy sense, the children of God in Christ. Apart from faith in Christ's own righteousness and not in my own, there is no forgiveness and no eternal life. There is only condemnation and vengeance and separation from God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it's a warning to Christians living in these end times. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, wrote, "By one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Where sin abounded, there did grace much more abound." And that is the proclamation of salvation alone in Jesus' righteousness and sacrifice, and not my own. But then it is as though, in that text in Romans, as though St. Paul spins on his heel, fearing what some might then think, and says, "Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound?" Answer, God forbid. Absolutely not. Sinning with such intent is, in fact, to deny not only God's law, but even more so, it is to deny his gospel, to live willfully, consciously, deliberately in sin is to live apart from Christ. God's word teaches us that the fundamental reality for the child of God, for all of us as children of God through faith in Christ, that is that we are perfectly righteous, holy saints, through faith in Jesus' blood and righteousness. And yet in this life, as we look for our Lord's return, we continue in our old nature, the old Adam, our sinful flesh. And thus we continue to sin in our weakness, even when we know better. That's what St. Paul confessed about himself when he said, "The good that I want to do, I do not do. And the evil which I don't want to do, that I keep on doing." To live with Christ is to be hidden away under his wings, living in the shadow of the cross, under his righteousness, even while we are aware of our sinfulness and our weakness. Our flesh does indeed live, as our text says, in a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation. That is the fear that our sinful flesh needs. It needs to know that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But as redeemed children of God, as saints in Christ, we live by faith, trusting in the promise of the forgiveness of sins, the promise of grace, the promise of eternal life. We know that we live under his forgiveness, and in that we have peace, the peace which he has won for us. To him alone be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we beseech you, show your mercy to your humble servants, that we who put no trust in our own merits may not be dealt with according to the severity of your judgment, but according to your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.